This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast. Along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic, I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. It's Lions Week Part 2. We are so close to Sunday in the 3 p.m. slot. The Bears with a revenge game and a seeding game, more importantly. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm good. It's crazy. We've rung in the new year, and now we've got a guaranteed two football games to cover in 2026 here in January, which is fun to be a part of. I think you'll agree with me as we kind of set the table for Sunday. This is a weird spot for the Bears. It feels like their least significant and buzzworthy game and probably since before Thanksgiving in a lot of ways. And yet there is still so much meaning attached to it, as you mentioned. It feels like kind of a weird week because the human impulse is to like look ahead to wildcard weekend, you know, and potential for the last segment of the Bears Packers trilogy. And yet they've got to play the Lions on Sunday. And so there's a little bit of navigating needing to be done.
No doubt. And it seems like there is, including from me, because I've already done at least one pick. There's an assumption from a lot of people that the Bears are going to just roll over the Detroit Lions, which I do think the Bears probably will win. I don't want to spoil completely my pick, which we'll do at the end of the game. But Lions, there's still some sturdiness on their off. They don't suck. The Detroit Lions, even though they have lost three straight games, and they have indeed lost three straight games, this is still not a team that you would look at and say, yeah, this is a bum team. They are coming off a pretty bad loss, though, to Minnesota, 23-10, where they turned it over, what, six times in that game? I mean, that is a catastrophe of turnovers for them. But then a week 16 loss to Pittsburgh, and they lost to the Rams 41-34. So some sturdy competition this year, obviously, with Detroit having had a first-place schedule.
I mean, they're reeling. There's no question about it. And this is not the Lions team that won 15 games a year ago. Their offensive line, particularly in the interior, is not the same. They're down. They're two best safeties with Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch being out. They've been vulnerable to big plays in the passing game. So there's a lot here for the Bears to do it. I also think it does help that Ben Johnson knows as well as anyone the pride of that operation in Detroit, and he can kind of give players the reminder that this is still a Dan Campbell coach team that's going to be pretty gritty, and they're going to fight you on Sunday, even though they don't have anything left to play for being eliminated from the playoffs. And so you just got to be ready for that fist fight, right? And I think the Bears will be, but there is there's a human impulse to be like, okay, we've got this, and now we can start kind of just getting on our runway to the playoffs.
Yep, no doubt. Let's get to some things going down at Halas Hall this week, including what was the Bears' first full practice on Thursday, and the DNPs, those that did not practice on this day for the Chicago Bears, included Roma Dunze, as he continues to try to get that foot right. Jonah Jackson is sick, so he did not practice. All that sickness from last week still making its way through the locker room. And Joe Tryon Soyinka did not practice, but because of a concussion. Let's stop right there for a second. Roma Dunze has already missed four games. It would not seem logical at this point to consider playing him against Detroit. That's the way I feel about it. How do you think about that?
No, I'm with you. And if you were to do it, it would be knock the rust off. Let's get you a dozen, two dozen snaps and get you out of there, right? Like just to see how the foot responds. Obviously, the training staff and the medical staff at Halas Hall will have the control of the stoplight there with as it relates to Roma Dunze. You know, he's been bouncing around the locker room the last couple days, and you've seen him in there. And given what Ben Johnson said, I think it was a little bit more than a week ago that he believes Rome will help them again this year. You feel optimistic about where it's headed. But as you know, we've had the rule on the Take North podcast since day one. It's a see with your eyes, don't hear with your ears, right? And so we'll see the next time that we see Roma Dunze on the practice field.
No doubt. And for the record, Roma Dunze is always bouncing around the locker room and not always able to talk to us. But when he does, it's always a pleasure to hear from him. Let's continue on with some of the other things on the injury report. Limited participants. Ozzie Trapillo with a quad and knee issue. Nick McLeod is one of those that is sick, so he was limited. And the good news, the best news on the injury report is the full participants, including Olamide Zaccheaus. We do see Luther Burden practicing all out, and Josh Blackwell is a full participant as well.
Yeah. So hopefully, I know you mentioned Jonah Jackson. Hopefully the big wave of illness has sort of receded from Lake Forest, because that was something that really hit them last week and in a lot of different ways. So much so that Darnell Wright had to take his own flight to San Francisco and couldn't travel with the team, and then played in a game after flying private on the day of the game. So, interesting times. And then this is this time of year. And obviously the Bears have rolled with it as well as they've rolled with most things this year.
I think, you brought up that Darnell Wright thing. I think deep down inside, and even when you hear him talking about it, I think he enjoyed all that treatment, like the getting on my chartered plane and dropping into San Fran, and I'm the hero here. Like, I have arrived. And just the way it was described, and Ben Johnson seeing him, and everybody smiling. It's Darnell Wright. He got on his own plane.
Yeah,
and
sort
he
of
made it. He's a
cinematic,
hero.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Really,
like, you're not going to keep me out of this one, as he told Ben Johnson. And so, yeah, kind of a cool little footnote. Much cooler if the Bears would have won the football game, obviously, and would have had that little feather in their cap. But it's there. And look, I know we're going to get into our game spotlight here in a couple minutes, but I did want to bounce a few Caleb Williams thoughts off you, because I think that one of the things that I've enjoyed the most about covering this team is just how engaged in the conversation they've been with us, right? Like, you've been able to go into the building every single week and learn a little bit more about the evolution of all of this. And as it relates to Caleb, we've spent the last few weeks getting an understanding of how his relationship with Ben has changed and grown over time. And last week, Caleb was very forthright in saying that there were points during training camp where he described it. He first said fragile and then translated it into English and said fragile. That was how he described his relationship with Ben Johnson at points during the summer, and saying that he didn't even know if the head coach liked him. And so we obviously talked a little bit about that last week and have kind of expanded on it this week with some new voices in the realm. And Declan Doyle was one on, I guess it was Thursday, that sort of weighed in on what he's seen from Ben and Caleb. And I think that the two things that stood out to me, Grody, were, number one, he said, "We coach Caleb hard because we coach everybody hard." And once that's understood, that this isn't some special, you know, force and pressure that we're putting on you, this is what we do with every single person in our building, it becomes more readily understandable to the quarterback, and you've got to go through that. So I think that was really neat to hear, and Declan sort of reinforcing that Caleb has always had this growth mindset that the Bears are trying to remind him, like, hey, you've got a growth mindset. This is part of it. And so I wanted to get some of your thoughts on that, and we can ping pong that around for a minute or two.
Yeah, look, I have said it all year long that there's no way that the Ben Johnson Caleb Williams relationship has been smooth sailing from the start. We know that because we got to know Ben Johnson, and it just doesn't work that way with new head coach and new quarterback. And you don't have to believe much of what was written about Caleb Williams and some of the stuff that we went through and all the big articles, whether it was Tyler Dunn or the ESPN book or Caleb's dad, or, you know, just reports of things that he said. You knew that Ben Johnson knew when he came here that there was going to have to be a teardown. I mean, he didn't come in here blind or in deaf as to what was going on with Caleb Williams and what happened last year. Whoever's fault it was, whether it was Caleb's culpability at times, the coaching staff at the last times, last year had to be unlearned. And somebody had to come into Hallis Hall this year and teach Caleb Williams truly how to be a pro and how to be a good football player. That's not just something you could do with a bunch of smiles and pats on the back.
No, and in particularly when things were rough, which they were. We watched that with our own eyes in training camp. And I'll talk about that in a minute, about kind of where we have reset our expectations for Caleb Williams. But there were some really rough patches of getting this thing off the ground. You know, it wasn't just turn the key and off we go. You know, it was we've got to work through under the hood and rewire and do all. I'm not a car guy, so I'm going to use some analogies that don't really work in this regard.
You
can't just pour in windshield wiper fluid and the next thing you know, you got a rocket ship, you know, whatever mixed analogy is there. But like, that was real. Like the bumps in the road were real. And so it was really interesting to me. Like Declan Doyle said something on Thursday. He said, you know, it didn't always look clean. And I said, yeah, Declan, it didn't always feel clean either, which is why Caleb expressed that he thought there were moments that his head coach didn't like him, you know? And so how do you work through that? And I thought he was really kind of reflective in saying, look, there's an emotional component to this, whereas the person on the receiving end of the criticism and the instruction, you have to understand where it's coming from, right? And he said, basically, we had to set the biggest of the big picture first and work backwards. Like, this is where we want to go. And now this is why we're being this way with you now, because this is the phase we're in and we've got to go through all these phases. And one of the phrases that was used to me recently was the discipline of the quarterback position, right? And so that's the discipline of preparation. It's a discipline of understanding what your coach is asking for in his system. It's a discipline of when balls are snapped and you got the football in your hand, what's the discipline on that play? And so that takes time, particularly for a quarterback who has been so good as an improviser, to get it all down. And so that's part of what Caleb's been working through. And we reach a point here now at the end of the regular season where you're like, okay, they've made really, really solid, tangible growth this year. And you feel great about that box on your checklist for 2025 being checked.
Yeah, you can actually say that coach and quarterback are successful and are absolutely successful together. And then just one more thing to cap it off, like Caleb Williams always said, at least answered the question in the affirmative, in the yes, I want to be coached hard. I want to learn.
Yeah.
And I always said, well, be careful what you wish for.
Correct.
And I think that that's what was going on early this season. He's like, what the hell? This guy's running out on the field and yelling at me and pulling me out of plays. And then he's yelling at me in the offices. What the hell? That's what coaching hard looks like, Caleb Williams. And I think that he now understands that.
No question. So the last little footnote on this topic, because I heard you talking a little bit about this on 670 The Score, this idea of evolving expectations for Caleb in the outside world. And I was to just put this from my perspective. It's interesting because I've got two separate threads in my phone of text messages from friend groups. One of them that is insistent that I am way too critical of Caleb Williams, and another that thinks I love up Caleb Williams too much. I love that there's both of those threads that exist, because it tells me that, okay, like people are hearing what they want to hear, and at least that I found a balance that both of those conclusions can be drawn. But what I would say from my perspective is I think the ceiling for Caleb Williams is probably just a little lower for me than it was on draft night, but the floor is significantly higher than it was on, say, August 14th when we were watching some of those practices and going, oh, God, like there's no promise that this thing will ever get anywhere meaningful. And so it's really interesting to kind of be aware of the range of potential for where this story ends while being fully immersed in where we are right now.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And because Caleb has been playing so well, and he has been playing so well, we're at a point right now where the fan base is, and I could tell you, my colleagues at The Score and other media in town, it's like, yep, that's it. He is here. Caleb Williams is elite. He's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. We're trending in that direction. We are. I'm not sure I'm ready to just put the stamp on it, because like 7 weeks ago, we were talking about, where's the accuracy? Why can't Caleb do anything in the first three quarters? Like, where's the first drive? Where's the accuracy? All of that. And it's like, I feel like sometimes we're watching it in real time and analyzing what is in front of us and not making grand proclamations, although I have done that from time to time too, which will all come out at the end of the season. Trust me, when we go through our mistakes, but it's like, okay, I can't just like, now that he's been playing well, it's like, just keep doing that. Keep doing that. And you are headed in a great direction and to be the greatest Bears quarterback and maybe even an elite quarterback still.
Because sports is what it is, right? Like, it's like for us, it's like being in a jury box in week two of a 9-month trial and people being like, so what's the verdict? And you're like, yes, there is no verdict yet. Like,
right.
We're way too early to cast a verdict on this trial and nobody should do that. But there's an impulse there for people to do that. In one of the threads that I have, I told my friends, I said, listen, like, you guys are in a more fun car of the train. Like, you get to live this from a different vantage point. I can share information for you from in this different car that I sit in watching this all unfold, and you can do whatever the bleep you want with it. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of intel of things that I know around the building, but it's really interesting because as a fan, you want to be so locked into the juice that this season has provided to do what you just said and stamp it and say, he's our quarterback in 2032, you know, and you and I just know better that that's not this league. And so you just got to go step by step and stay immersed in the present. And forecasts are really pretty much fruitless at this point. And you just kind of try to evaluate each stage of the growth process, to which Caleb has passed the checkpoints on pretty much every stage of the growth process for this, his first season under Ben Johnson.
Right. And there is a duration that he has to continue to do that. The quantity of games has to continue to be that quality. And that's what I'm continuing to look for from Caleb Williams. But no doubt, heading in the right direction. There's no doubt who your quarterback is, at least for the next couple of years. I will give that to Bears fans for sure. And hopefully, and maybe, and probably even more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's get to our game spotlight. And that is one of the things that makes this week so significant. And that is the fact that the Bears were embarrassed and destroyed on September 14th, week two of the NFL season. They go into Detroit, Detroit wanting a piece of them badly because Ben Johnson left them with coaches. 52-21 was the final score. Jared Goff, 334, 5 TDs. Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown were over 100 yards. Just to name a couple of the catastrophic things that occurred in that game, Dan.
I'm really excited for this game spotlight because it allows us to do several things. It allows us to do some Take the North favorites. We're going to do a combination of getting in the cold tub time machine, and we're also going to do a little listen to this when we get in the cold tub time machine, yes, with some thoughts that you and I had 16 short, long weeks ago. But before we get there, before we get to that stage, Ben Johnson is the most important person in sort of processing what happened in week two and applying what he finds relevant to week 18. And so it caught my ear on Monday when Ben did his usual day after game interview with Jeff Joniak and was asked, hey, do you go back and look at that game from Detroit in week two? And what do you remember? And Ben, the way he said it was as important was what he said. He said, I remember it vividly. And it was like, oh man, like it was like he opened up a scrapbook of his worst memories of the last 3 years and was like, man, like that was torture. And you could tell that he was pissed off and reliving something that you don't even need to relive anymore because you've obviously come out on the other side of it and you've won the division and everything is different than it was then. But you can tell that as prideful as he is, that it bothers him that was out there. And so I followed up on Wednesday asking him about the vivid memory that he has of that afternoon at Ford Field.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's early in the season, and you're still getting to know your team a little bit. And, you know, you just being in that locker room after the game, you know, and how that felt. And you don't always remember exactly what was said or anything like that, but you always remember how you felt in those moments. And so I know our players do too.
How do you describe what that felt like?
Yeah, it's never a good taste when you get beat like that, you know, so handily. And fourth quarter wasn't even close. So yeah, leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, the week even heading into that game with the stuff that was coming out of Detroit and the hate that was coming out of Detroit for, I guess, sports hate. I mean, it really got ugly. It felt like even at the stadium, some of the stuff that was being chanted there. I mean, like that is there's so much. Just the peripheral stuff it's got to destroy you inside. And then after all of that, you allow your ex team to put 52 up on you. And in the week before, wasn't Dan Campbell having to answer questions about life without?
Because they struggled. They struggled in Green Bay in their opener and then came back and dropped 52 on the Bears, which was, it was really something. And so Grody, Ben talked about how it felt. You got your seatbelt buckled? Because I'm going to start pressing the buttons here to get us back in that Colton time machine. We're going to go to September 14th, 2025, and we're going to remember how Take the North felt on the night of that game after we witnessed that disaster, that whatever you want to call it. It was a mess in Detroit. And so just get ready for this ride. We're going to kind of steer through this. We can react on the back half of all of it. But here's three clips from the post-game edition of Take the North after Lions 52, Bears 21, way back in week two in September.
There is reason to fear that today was just a continuation of last year's embarrassment. And if you want to go back through the last four previous coaches here, there were elements of all four of them here in this game today, right? You want to talk about Matt Eberflus? Okay, he suffered a horrific loss on this very field here just a year ago. You want to talk about the inability to unlock a quarterback and sudden and troubling kicker uncertainty? We got Matt Nagy on line two. It's all a problem. The John Fox mantra, that's there too. And oh, by the way, first time the Bears have given up 50-plus since Mark Trestman was the coach and they lost back-to-back games in 2014 to the Patriots and Packers. So it's all rolled into one here. And Ben Johnson's new around here, but the results are pretty much the same. And this cleanup process seems more daunting than I think either of us imagined it would be.
Wow.
Same old Bears.
Raw emotion, same old Bears. So let's hear some more from that Take the North edition, September 14th, 2025.
I guess, Dan, what's going through my mind watching this game and at the end of it is, where the hell is everybody? Where's Montez Sweat? Where's Jervon Dexter? Where's Tremaine Edmonds? Where's the tight ends? Where's Colston Loveland? Where's Luther Burden? Where's Roshan Johnson? Where's Caleb Williams in the third and fourth quarters of this game? Where are all these guys? Nothing that we were sort of, I don't know, promised is the right word, but that we thought going into this season is even close to developing or sprouting in any way, shape, or form right now. So where the hell is everybody?
I saw the guys you mentioned. They were in uniform out here on the field here. So they're here. They were here. They're on a flight.
You saw them in the locker room.
Now.
Are you sure they were in the locker room?
Yeah,
I know Roma Dunze was in there. Seven catches for 128 yards and a couple of TDs. But where are the Bears? Where were they last week? Where are they this week?
So you sent out a search party. I was going to say the only guy on in that list of people you were searching for that we haven't found yet is Roshan Johnson. But you sent out a search party that day. And so that
I
was
did,
good.
See? I take a little credit for that. I realized, right, what I realized then from hearing you and I just really quickly, we were scared to death. We were scared to death. It was the same old Bears.
Chicago was. Yeah. Chicago was. We got one more clip again, September 14th, 2025, week two, Detroit, Lions 52, Bears 21.
The fatigue to all of this that the audience can't take anymore. Ben's new, but that feeling is really heavy. And I think probably for some of those players that are holdovers in the locker room, they feel it too. And you've got to start to have some form of result that produces confidence rather than doubt.
It's because they're not even coming close. Like, I get it. No, we all suspected, having seen what we saw, Dan, in training camp, for those of us who were there watching what was going on with this team, and we all saw the preseason games. We know how up and down it was. Some of that was expected, but there's just zero semblance of anything that looks like a good football team. It actually looks like a rebuilding football team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, it was a rebuilding football team, and we were agitated, and you said it just a minute ago. You could tell we were scared also that we were going to relive what we've relived way too many times with this franchise, which is a team that overpromises and underdelivers. Imagine our delight and our surprise to be sitting here on January 2nd, 2026 with the division championship team and a home playoff game waiting for us next week. But fascinating. I've got a few more nuggets of insight from inside the building this week to share with you. But that was crazy, wasn't it, to just kind of reflect and hear those things that we were saying to each other 16 weeks ago?
It really is. And as I said before we played that last cut, it's like there's this fear. There's a fear inside of us. Are we covering this again? Is this what's happening again? There's fear from the fans. So, yeah, it really is pretty amazing. And I also like, I love using this phrase when it comes to stuff like that. It's like, sorry, not sorry. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, maybe a little bit over panic. Maybe like me using the word rebuilding. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry, because we've seen stuff like that. And it's funny, like, you know, me talking about seeing training camp. Yeah. We saw too much. We saw too much to think that that things were going to be great early on, but I did not expect a whomping like that.
Way back then, we were yet to be podcasting at a championship standard.
That's true.
As Ben would say. And so we've made some growth too in the last 16 weeks as well, and being a little bit ahead of it. But I did have a chance on Thursday with the Bears offensive assistant coaches available to pick the brains of both Antoine Randall-El and Press Taylor on the topic. And I started with Press, and I said, you know, Ben said that he vividly remembers the game in Detroit in September. And the way he said it led me to believe. He said, when did he say that? I said, Monday. He said, yeah, we were going back through the video of that game for this week. Mm-hmm. And he used the word disgusted. And it was a disgust at what they put on tape, because these guys are they're so prideful that they know no matter what's happened in the 16 weeks since, that their signature is on that performance, right? And they have to own that for the rest of time. No matter what they've accomplished, they're embarrassed and disgusted by what that offense looked like, by what that team looked like in the second game of the regular season. And Antoine Randall-El said that the thing that he has noticed that has come the furthest since that time is the grasp of the offense, the understanding of the players to be able to apply the concepts of the offense in real time, right? And to really grow there. And that's why the Bears seem like they're playing faster, because they understand what they're doing better. And I said, when you go back and watch that game film from week two, you know, does it bother you? He's like, no, because I know what's on the other side. And again, what's on the other side is what we watched Sunday night in San Francisco. It's 38 points, it's 440 yards. It's an offense that still really, I think you and I would agree, has not reached its peak or hit its full stride yet, and is still on the verge of setting historical records for the Bears franchise in a single season. And so, man, it's truly, truly incredible to see what this thing has become after what it was for us, not only in week two, because I think the week two agitation came on the heels of obviously a blown game in week one on Monday night against the Vikings. And that's why everything was so raw and unnerved. And even you heard in the Ben clip where Ben said he remembers that feeling. And he does a good job of the earmuffs and blinders things, but you know, he heard some of that criticism of that football team coming out of that loss.
Oh yeah, no, that of course. I mean, that stuff is real. I mean, his job is to downplay. I understand that's the right thing to do because it's all about the playoffs, but they had to be watching when they were watching that tape and feel a little sense of, although they were agitated and stressed out watching it, they must feel a slight sense of relief that they are where they are at this point relative to that. So I think we've learned right now on the Take the North podcast that we have all in our own little ways come a long way since that horrible 52-21 loss to the Detroit Lions. That said, Dan, three things to watch for Bears and Lions this Sunday at Soldier Field, round two. Can you make it better for us?
Three things to watch. Here we go with the first thing to watch. This one's obvious this week. You know where we're headed first. We're headed to 4,000. We're headed to 4,000 passing yards. We're headed to the scrutiny that comes with a number that the head coach, Ben Johnson, referred to this week as arbitrary, to a storyline that he referred to as tertiary. We know Ben's new around here. We know what this storyline will mean. Just for the record, and I'll give you a few more milestones on the back end of this, Caleb is 108 yards from matching Eric Kramer's 1995 single season passing record. That could happen before halftime Sunday at Soldier Field. So put that on your chart when you sit down to watch the game on Sunday. 270, nice round number to get to 4,000.
I believe after some additional fact checking, that would make Caleb the 75th quarterback to join the 4,000-yard fraternity in NFL history, obviously the first for the Chicago Bears. So they would break into that frontier. Let's hear from Caleb first, and then I want to hear where you are on this whole 4,000-yard pursuit.
Yeah, I think for me, it'd be cool just in the sense of there's never been one here. And, you know, I think I was brought here for, you know, those type of things and those type of moments that things that haven't been done here, you know, to try and be able to accomplish. And, you know, I think it, you know, like I've said before, the self goals and all of that always gets swept under when you go for the team goals, and that's winning ball games. And so that's first and foremost in my mind. That's first and foremost for this team, because the most important thing is winning ball games and heading into the playoffs with, you know, some momentum and some good energy heading into the playoffs.
You came around to understanding this franchise's struggles with the quarterback position in the past. What does that do to drive you in terms of the idea of shattering records and to really assert yourself as atop the record books here in a lot of ways?
Yeah, I knew that coming here. And like you said, and that's a goal of mine, is to be the top of them all. I want to be the best quarterback, not only for Chicago, but in the league. And you know, that starts with consistency. That starts with me preparing the right way. And so it's important to me, because that's, you know, I don't get up to be mediocre. I don't get up to, you know, not come to work and, you know, be at my best and go on the football field and, you know, do what I do. And so I want to keep growing. I want to keep growing for myself. I want to keep growing for my legacy, but I also want to keep growing for this team.
Here's why I love the idea of Caleb Williams getting to 4,000 this year, get it done, all that. I understand he could easily do it next year if he doesn't do it this year. But not only would he be shattering a record, he'd be shattering what has been a Bears lifestyle. That's where it's bigger and where I think some people don't understand, because I think in our last podcast, there were a few comments of, you know, only meatballs care about records and things like that. And for the most part, I get where that listener or viewer is coming from. The peripheral stuff, all of that kind of thing. Like it's not real in terms of winning. But in this case, because the Bears have embarrassingly enough never had a 4,000-yard passer, and that's legit. There's a correlation between the Bears not having had a 4,000-yard passer and not having had a real quarterback, except right, intermittently, except every once in a while. You just mentioned Eric Kramer, and Eric Kramer will come around for a couple of years. Jim Miller will be around for a season and give you a 400-yard game. Justin Fields will do special things for a year. Mitch Trubisky will be okay for his rookie year. There's been all these stops and starts. So unfortunately, there has been a correlation with 4,000 yards and bad quarterbacking. This is why it is wholly important that this get done for the health and the sake of the franchise.
How about one name you didn't mention, and that's Jay Cutler, who is a member of the 4,000-yard club.
My bad.
He's a 4,000-yard passer. Only problem is he did it with Denver in 2008, the year before the Bears traded for him.
Problem with Cutler. He never quite reached Cutler status with the Bears. He was a good quarterback with the Bears, but that's never what he was supposed to be.
That is 100% the torture of this. And so, Rich Campbell, friend of the podcast, said that this won't be fully buried until a quarterback for the Bears does it in 16 games. The 17th game doesn't do anything for him. I said, forget it. They're going to put a board over that door, and they're going to nail some boards into that.
It's just done.
And then, again, as we talked about the other day, it doesn't have to be a primary storyline. It's just a little piece of trivia at that point after Thank Sunday, if Caleb's able to get there. And that's a big deal for this franchise that's trying to redefine who it is and where it's going. And so that'll be fun to watch. A couple other milestones just real quick before we move on to the second thing to watch. DeAndre Swift, 3 yards away from setting a new career single season high for rushing yards. That's a little bit low key for the season that he's kind of had. 17 games, obviously, this is context here, but the Bears have a chance to set the single season franchise records for total yards. They have 6,012 right now. The 2013 team had 6,278. So that record seems destined to fall. And here's another one, Grody, for you.
Mm-hmm.
425 points scored by the Bears this season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With 32 points on Sunday, they would have more points in a single regular season than every single team, including the current record holder, the 1985 Bears.
Wow. Whoa.
I'm having a minor heart attack here as we are recording this one. Oh, my God. Now, that's some good stuff. And I'm just looking at the Bears, some of their up-to-date statistics on the overall, just backing up what you're saying, basically. Right now, the Bears are fifth in the NFL in total yards at 385.6 per. They are 10th in points scored at 26.6. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a delight to go through the Bears' offensive statistics throughout this year and kind of eye-opening.
One time in the 21st century have the Bears had a top 10 offense in the NFL. That's mind-blowing in its own right. Kevin Fishbane is doing the confirmation on this. But in the Super Bowl era, this may be the first time ever that the Bears have had a top 5 offense. They are destined to finish third or fourth or maybe climb up to second. That's crazy.
It really is. It really is now. Right.
It's crazy.
Keep that going. And let's see. I mean, it could all go to a new level in the postseason, depending on what they do. But what do you got for number two, Dan, on your three things to watch here?
I like this one, too, because it's numbers related as well. But it's the Bears turnover margin, which is plus 22 right now. And that is really, really solid. And it's best in the league by a wide margin. And there's two reasons here. Number one reason, the Bears have a very opportunistic defense, and they've been taking it away at a really impressive clip all season. Number two reason, they don't give it away. They've got 10 turnovers all season. That is also a league best. And so when you have the league's best offense at taking care of the football and the league's best defense at taking it away, it gives yourself an opportunity to be involved in every single football game and then be right competitive in every playoff game that you will play. And with a team that's got so much late game belief and the chance to win those games, this is one of those little numbers that gives you a chance. What's fascinating here is we've talked at various points this season, the Bears went to Philadelphia and we're like, well, it's going to be hard to take it away from the Eagles because they're the best team in the NFL at protecting the football. And then the Bears got it from Jalen Hurts a couple times. And then a couple weeks later, they went to Green Bay and you're like, well, the Packers are now the best team in the NFL at taking care of the football. And the Bears got one and they didn't do anything with it. As of Christmas morning, the Lions were the best team in the NFL at taking care of the football. Then they gave it away six times, as you mentioned, against the Vikings. And so now guess what? The best team in the NFL at taking care of the football is the Chicago freaking Bears. And so they found their way up there through two different paths. And it's really kind of fascinating to see how that storyline ends on Sunday in the finale at Soldier Field.
Yeah, it's a testament to the Chicago Bears. And Caleb Williams continues to be great at protecting the football, not giving it away. We know he's had a couple of bad ones. But the quantity has not been high, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. And right now, Dan, as for all those turnovers that the Bears defense is forcing, we are in too deep to this season to not accept that the Bears defense is fully dependent on turnovers to be good in their games. And I know, like, San Francisco is the easy example to circle, although they did have the pick six in that, but that was an extraordinary offense that they were going up against. The Bears must force turnovers if they're going to make a playoff run. It is what it is. That's something that they're going to have to fix in the offseason. You know, be able to have a good defense if you don't force turnovers, which for the most part, the Bears just have not had.
No question. And one little footnote on that, I did get a sit down this week one-on-one with Nashawn Wright, who's been the best in the building at taking the football away this year. Yeah. He's got nine of them. Yeah. And we went through his list of nine, Grody. And it's not just that Nashawn Wright's been a part of nine takeaways. They've been in huge moments for this football team. And I know you've referenced it several times, you know, going back to the pick six in the opener or the fumble recovery in Washington or the tush push strip in Philly or the interception in Minnesota. Yeah, like every single one of his takeaways has been significant, probably with the exception, but it was a game ender of the Hail Mary pick against the Bengals in Cincinnati. That was probably the easiest one he had, and it was just like a pop-up that he caught. But other than that, you're like, man, this guy has he's really put his stamp on what we just talked about, which is a defense that's taken it away all season.
We're going to do our picks here in just a minute, but we've got one more thing from Dan Weider's three things to watch.
This is a quick one because I feel like we've taken a little bit more of a zoom out look on this Sunday game for obvious reason. And this one is the Eagles game. Will the Bears be scoreboard watching at all on Sunday afternoon? Because they clinch the number two seed in the NFC with either their own win or an Eagles loss. The Eagles, it seems, are already in playoff mode and starting to rest some people and maybe not take their finale against the Commanders at home as seriously as they might otherwise do. And so that, you know, look, like the Bears are going to go win this game trying to win. But I'm curious if anybody in the game management side of things for the Bears will keep an eye on that and keep the head coach alert at all of what's happening in Philadelphia as it relates to what the Bears are ultimately playing for, which is that
I think
the two seed is super significant because everybody just assumes that the one seed is going to win its divisional round game. Well, they might not, right? Whoever wins the NFC West may lose at home in their playoff opener. And then all of a sudden, the Bears face the prospect of having home field advantage through the rest of the playoffs if they're the two seed, right? And so that's a big deal for them to go attack that. We'll see kind of what that looks like. And again, I do think that there's a vibes thing here to watch on Sunday because the last time we were at Soldier Field, you know, there's the electricity of that Green Bay game and that felt like a playoff game. This isn't going to feel like that. And so can that building sort of manufacture the necessary energy to accompany this you know, finale that's really just a lead up to the postseason?
I wonder though if, and I'm thinking about this, what you just said, that the drama, it may not be as built in as it has been recently, but could it be sort of a fan appreciation day where we see like Caleb Williams' name chanted by at Soldier Field, or just sort of that appreciation vibe heading into the playoffs maybe?
Yeah, you hope for that, right? And like we talked earlier this week that the Bears haven't had the moment to commemorate their achievement, right? Like they clinched the playoff spot because of the Lions' loss, you know, to Aaron Rodgers, and then they end up clinching the division because of Derrick Henry's mastery of the Packers on a Saturday night the day before they played. So hopefully there'll be some commemoration and some celebration at Soldier Field that reflects what you're talking about, just an appreciation of what we've lived this season, and nobody can take that away from Chicago, Mark Grody. As much as people want to try, and as much as people will worry about what comes with sustaining success, nobody can take away the feelings of the last 4 months. And hopefully Chicago, you know, on a Sunday afternoon where they have a chance to do so without much tension, can live in that moment for a little bit.
And we have come to the point of the show where we will make our selections on this particular game. I'll go first this week. I have the Bears beating the Lions 27-17 because I think right now and simply the Bears are a better team. It's just true. And I don't think the Lions are a slouch. They are a 500 team right now. They are not bad statistically. Their offense is still good. The Bears are better right now. They're a better team and they will be playing at home. The Bears are more into it, more at stake, more realness into it. I know Dan Campbell's team's not going to come out there slouching because it's Dan Campbell, but by the third quarter, they might be slouching in this game because there's not anything there for them to play for except for pride. I do think the revenge factor is real. I don't think that's just in the head of the head coach, but also in the players. An embarrassment is an embarrassment, and the Bears have a chance to get back at them. And even I do think that it's okay to be motivated by some of the numbers, even though nobody's going to say it, and hitting incentives and all of that. So there are way too many more reasons why the Bears are going to win this game. 27-17 Bears over Detroit.
I'll go second here. I think that the Bears are going to win. I agree with you, Grody, on pretty much everything you just said. They're just the better team right now. Something I'm keeping an eye on, and this is I don't think you guys mentioned this. I haven't heard people mention this. Caleb Williams throws 5 touchdown passes. He's going to be the first Bear to ever reach 30 touchdowns. So I just want to make sure that that's out there. I don't think that's going to happen. But something to keep an eye on.
That's
good. I do think that the Bears are going to win 30-24. So that by that score alone, it means that Caleb won't be throwing 5 touchdown passes. But hey, you know, it could still happen.
I'll go third. I've got a Bears victory, just like you do, a little bit closer. I'm going 27-23. I'm going to be really interested to see where in the game the Lions go to Cancun formation, right? Like when they check out and decide that, okay, let's just get on with it and let's move on. I know we're not doing our best bet segment anymore, but I did want to note that the Caleb Williams passing yards prop this week, the over-under for his passing yards is 235.5
for those who are interested, for those who want him to break the Bears' single season passing record and then go further and get to 4,000 yards. He will need to go over that passing prop to get to 4,000 yards. Just something to throw out there, just knowing how the quarterback and the head coach are wired. It might be something you might want to take a look at and make your Sunday a little bit more interesting. But I got Bears 27, Lions 23.
Okay. It's a clean sweep. Bears are going to win. Before we get out of here, I want to let our audience know that Dan and I, the Take the North podcast, and our guy Adam Sadzinski, we will be performing a playoff special on Tuesday night. Take the North will be live on the Score from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're working on a couple of special guests that we're going to have on, and you know that we're going to have a blast on a live Score or Take the North show.
You use the word perform. I love that word. Let's go perform on Tuesday. It's the playoffs. It's time to perform. Man. You know, absolutely. I'm gonna go get a t-shirt that says what Caleb said in that soundbite we played earlier in this episode. I don't get up to be mediocre. So let's go perform and let's live by that motto going into Tuesday.
Let's be great. Let's be elite, Dan. Let's be elite. That is the way we are heading. So we're looking forward to that and a big playoff run, hopefully, that will be followed by the Take the North podcast, which you all know everybody listening gets that. And we thank you for listening. We appreciate you subscribing. Please do that. Please subscribe. Please like. Please comment. Whatever you would like to do with our podcast, we are here for you. And for Dan Wiederer of The Athletic, for our executive producer, Adam Sadzinski, I am Mark Grody saying, indeed, thank you for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Go Bears.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.